Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. We're moving past the COVID-19 lockdowns and this government overreach and on to protests and riots. Over the last 3 months, I did a 12-part series on issues surrounding the COVID-19 epidemic. I didn't expect it to be a 12-week series. Maybe I need to do a 12-week series on these BLM protests. But actually, I'm done with grouping these programs into series. It's just too confusing and there's no end. Today's program is simply YouTube number 123, an ongoing commentary on these last days. Well, the news this week has morphed from protests surrounding George Floyd to calls for defunding the police to mob control over city streets. Specifically, in the city of Seattle, BLM protesters and Antifa have taken over a six-block city area called Capitol Hill, and they're calling it CHAZ, Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. They're putting up signs, "You're now leaving the United States." The police had to withdraw from that area because they couldn't stop the mobs. Because at this time, it's politically incorrect to use guns and force. So what could the police do? The mayor had the police withdraw from that area, hoping that this will, quote, de-escalate the problem and be an exercise in trust. How naive. Well, the whole thing is summed up in video captured in the zone. Graffiti, looting, violence. Nakita Oliver, a former mayoral candidate for the city, gave a speech in the zone outlining the ideological purpose of the occupation. Quote, "We need to align ourselves with the global struggle that acknowledges that the United States plays a role in racialized capitalism. Racialized capitalism is built upon patriarchy, white supremacy, and classism." She sounds identical to the atheistic Bolsheviks in 1917. This is right out of the Communist Manifesto. Anti-capitalism, anti-personal ownership, anti-family. Everything is about class struggle and racism and money. Also, a local rapper was filmed holding a AK-47 and saying, "This is war." And saying to some locals, "What? You being nice, letting us stay here? You forget that we are the police in the community now. Don't be threatening me or I'll blow your brains out." Kind of reminds us of George Orwell, Animal Farm. The pigs run the farmer out of town and they take over the farm. And then the pigs begin to treat the rest of the animals worse than the farmer ever did. The change of government is the joy of fools. So this takeover isn't about justice. These are evil thugs, ungodly people, seeking power for themselves. This call to defund the police is not so there can be self-governance, as if that would work. They want to defund the police so that they can put in place their own political party thugs to enforce compliance to their political social agenda. Remember, communism always has people losing their freedom because communism only works if you put a gun to people's heads. There are so many issues that can be brought up in regard to these riots, and I'm sure you have heard plenty of political pundits share their perspective. But it's time for us to turn to the Holy Scripture. That's where we're going to get light in the darkness. This is what I really want to do today, is teach the Scripture, because that's the only thing that matters. And that's the only thing that's going to really produce good change. The biblical book of Judges is the account of Israel's first 400 years. And although we think of the book in terms of the heroes, Gideon, Samson, Barak, Deborah, the book is really an account of Israel's national sins. The whole point of the book is commentary on man's fallen nature as demonstrated in national social policy. The nation went through cycles of prosperity, sin, decline, revival, prosperity, sin, decline, revival, and so on. C.S. Lewis wrote about mankind. That is the key to history. Terrific energy is expended. Civilizations are built up. Excellent institutions devised, but each time something goes wrong. Some fatal flaw always brings the selfish and the cruel people to the top, and it all slides back into misery and ruin. In fact, the machine conks. It seems to start up all right and run a few yards, and then it breaks down. So, the failure of Israel and all nations establishes man's need for the Messiah and the new birth, because natural, unregenerate men only produce evil. The law of Moses, education, the priests, the prophets, the political, social, economic climate could not keep the people right. In the words of John Adams, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other." Now, what was meant by religious in 1798 was the new birth, conversion to Christianity. And by the way, Adams wrote that in a letter to the Massachusetts militia. But in that letter, he also wrote that America was not tainted with the behavior that is producing desolation in many parts of the world. And he was mainly making reference to the French Revolution and the reign of terror that was taking place at that time. Adams then said, "If the people of America become corrupt and practice iniquity and extravagance, while using the language of justice and moderation, and if the people of America practice rioting and laziness, while claiming it is candor, frankness, and sincerity, then this country will be the most miserable habitation in the world. Because, quote, we have no government armed with the power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Avarice, ambition, revenge, which is driving the current protests in America, or gallantry, meaning arrogance or cockiness, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net." Then the famous quote, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people, is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other." Again, Adam was describing the situation going on in France, where under the guise of justice and sincerity, the people were rioting and fighting one another. Adam's point was that the only thing preventing that chaos in America was a citizenship committed to the Christian faith, to Christian values, a large born-again populace. Adams, with a Christian worldview, understood human nature and human sin, and he could see what would happen to America if the Christian faith went into decline, which is what is happening in America today. And this is the spiritual lesson in the biblical book of Judges. What happens to a nation when they abandon God, when they abandon God for immorality and idolatry, false gods, false beliefs? What will happen is evil, worthless men will arise and bring about social unrest, decay, and destruction. Now, of the many stories in the book of Judges, there is one story I'd like to point out that is really some good commentary on our current situation, the rise of Abimelech. If you don't know the story, you should, because it's included in Scripture as an example of what happens when evil thugs take over a nation. This is Judges chapter 9. Remember the judge named Gideon, who led Israel to defeat the Midianites? Well, after that victory, he became the de facto governor of Israel. He lived in Shechem, the first capital of Israel, not far from Samaria, which would eventually become the capital of northern Israel. Well, Gideon had 70 sons. Gideon was a polygamist. And one son, by the name of Abimelech, got the people in Shechem to support him to be the ruler over his brothers. And Abimelech paid off, quote, Judges chapter 9, verse 4, "worthless and reckless fellows to follow him." Now, I'll get back to that text in a minute. Because people of this character are described often in the Bible. Troublemakers, wicked men, unprincipled men, worthless fellows, scoundrels, rogues, they rise up. They are empowered whenever a nation departs from the Lord. They are the Jacobins in the French Revolution. They are the Bolsheviks in the Russian Revolution. They are the Nazi brown shirts and the SS in the 1930s Germany. They are thugs. They're enforcers. They are Antifa, looters, arsons, rioters in America today. These are the men spoken of in Proverbs chapter 28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. And in Proverbs 29, when the wicked increase, transgressions increase. And these men are not always uneducated. They can be highly educated people, professors, Karl Marx, Malcolm X, Saul Alinsky, Noam Chomsky. So the story continues in Judges 9. Abimelech and his followers murder all of Abimelech's brothers so he alone could become king. Abimelech wanted power for himself, which is the root cause for all social unrest and upheaval. One of the brothers escaped, Jotham. And Jotham stood on Mount Gerizim, and he called out to Abimelech and the people of Shechem. He called out to them a parable, the parable of the bramble. You may remember this. The trees wanted a king. So they asked the olive tree, and the olive tree turned them down. Then they asked the fig tree, and the fig tree turned them down. Then they asked the vine, and the vine turned them down. They finally asked the bramble, and he accepts, and he says, "Come take refuge in my shade." And of course, the bramble doesn't provide any shade or fruit. So Jotham was basically saying that the people of Shechem chose for themselves a foolish, wicked man to be in charge, someone who is nothing more than bramble, an ungodly thug, a foolish, bitter, ungodly ideologue. And the story reminds us so much of George Washington. After the Revolution, Washington was offered the position of being America's new king, because at that time, everybody thought a country needs a king. But because he was a Christian man, he turned it down because he understood that America needed to be under the rule of God, not under the rule of man. But baser men, like the Abimelechs of the world, jump on the opportunity. Like many politicians today, or like many Supreme Court justices who take the power to make laws away from Congress and put it in their own hands. Well, what wound up happening to Abimelech is that he ruled from Shechem for 3 years, but then the people of Shechem turned on him and they wanted Gaal, the son of Ebed, to deliver them from Abimelech. A war broke out. Abimelech burned the city of Shechem to the ground and killed everyone in it, all the citizens who voted for him. But at the end of the battle, a woman threw a rock out of a tower. It fell on Abimelech's head, crushed his skull. Abimelech died, and everyone went home. Judges chapter 9, verse 56. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads. Never ends well. Payday is someday. Kind of reminds us of the French Revolution, where the people who started the revolution and sent the French aristocracy to the guillotine were also sent to the guillotine by more radical members of the revolution. There's no honor among thieves and murderers. Everyone gets their comeuppance, the radicals, the extreme radicals, and everyone who supports them. But here is an important point in the story of Abimelech. The worthless men who supported the chaos and the social unrest. These wicked men duped the naive, ungodly citizens of Shechem. And I just want us to realize that the people of Shechem were not simply good people who were just deceived. They were deceived by these thugs because they were personally estranged from God. Judges chapter 8, verse 33. Then it came about as soon as Gideon was dead that the sons of Israel again played the harlot with the Baals and made Baal Berith their god. Thus the sons of Israel did not remember the Lord their God who had delivered them from the hands of their enemies on every side. And in Judges chapter 9, verse 4, we see that the leaders of the city of Shechem were closely associated with this false god, Baal Berith. Baal Berith was a Canaanite god. And the draw to this Canaanite god was the same thing that draws people today toward leftism. Jehovah God was the god of sexual morality, holy living. The popularity of Baal was human autonomy, a license for immorality, abortion, fertility, power, fame, worldly success. Later Jewish writers came to understand that Baal Berith was Baal Zebub, Beelzebub, the Lord of the Flies. Baal Berith was an idol representing the ideology of Satan. So this is why the people of Shechem were so easily deceived by these radicals. And in the words of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, why did the communist Bolsheviks take over Russia? Because the people forgot God. These wicked, worthless men who were Abimelech's thugs are described in the first chapter of Proverbs, and for the sake of being thorough, let me read it. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our house with spoil, with looting. Throw in your lot with us. We shall have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. I want to explain what for most of us would be a new biblical word. It's the title, Sons of Belial. Ben, Hebrew for son, son of, and Belial, for one who is worthless, one who is useless, a destroyer, often translated wicked or evil. The reason Christians are not familiar with this title, Sons of Belial, is because modern translators just translate the Hebrew word as worthless or wicked men, omitting the important designation son of, which indicates that that individual is the offspring or nature of Belial. You're not just a worthless person, you are the son of this key individual who is worthless, and guess who that might happen to be. Now, this title, Son of Belial, is throughout the Bible, and we should become familiar with it. Moses warns in Deuteronomy 13 that in the future, certain sons of Belial will lead Israel to abandon the true God for false gods. Deuteronomy 13:13, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you and have withdrawn the inhabitants of the city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known. Or Judges 19, the homosexuals, the men of the city of Gibeah, were called sons of Belial. And they beat down the door, and soon after, the rest of the tribes of Israel were called upon to put to death the sons of Belial who were in Gibeah. In 1 Samuel 2, the immoral sons of Eli were called sons of Belial. The sons of Eli were sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. In 1 Samuel 25, Nabal the fool, who would not support David, was called a son of Belial. 1 Samuel 25:25, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. And in 1 Samuel 20, a son of Belial named Sheba would not support the authority of King David, supported the house of Saul, and started a civil war. In 2 Chronicles 13, Jeroboam started a coup against Solomon's reign. And the text says Jeroboam gathered support from the sons of Belial. In 1 Kings 21, when Ahab murdered Naboth to take his vineyard, Ahab hired two sons of Belial to make up false testimony against Naboth. So who are these sons of the worthless one? In later Jewish literature, it becomes clear that Belial is Satan himself. As in the Dead Sea Scrolls, Belial is described as the leader of the sons of darkness, the angel of darkness. And so when we get to the New Testament, we read the Apostle Paul writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an infidel? It's clear that Belial is a reference to Satan. So to call someone a son of Belial is the same as Jesus saying to the Jews in his day, "You are of your father, the devil." It's the same as the New Testament description, sons of darkness, sons of perdition, sons of wrath, sons of lawlessness who follow the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist. If you're unsaved, and hence a son of the devil, you need to repent and come to Christ and become one of the children of God. Because we all start off life needing a new soul, a new life, a new identity, a new future. We have to change kingdoms. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We need to go from the dominion of Satan to dominion of God. But the point we need to get from this description in the Bible, sons of Belial, is that the Bible is very clear about calling a spade a spade. The rioters, this base element of society, the lawless, the power hungry, the arrogant, are all sons of Belial, sons of the devil. And we could use a little biblical backbone in this matter. We're not going to affect biblical change unless we start calling sin, sin, and Satan, Satan. And what we have here in America is sons and daughters of Belial taken to the streets, and that's the biblical description. And it's not just those who throw bricks and light fires, it's all of their leftist supporters. It includes people like the mayor of Seattle herself, who said about the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone that it's not an armed takeover, it's just a block party atmosphere. It's just a summer of love. And intellectuals say these things because as secular materialists, they do not believe in sin. They don't believe in their own sin, and hence they don't believe in the sins of anyone else. And so they become useful idiots for the sons of Belial. They're naive. They don't know the devil when they see him. They don't even recognize the devil's children because they too belong to him. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, they are taken captive by him to do his will. Did you see the pictures of the black trans protest in Brooklyn supporting and rallying for this wicked immorality of transgenderism? Didn't get much press because BLM is trying to keep its transgender agenda hidden, but there must have been 20,000 to 30,000 people there. Black transgender activists Raquel Willis stood on the deck of the Brooklyn Museum on Sunday. This was these people's church. And she led thousands of protests in a chant, "I believe in my power." And the people in the crowd echoed back, "I believe in your power. I believe in our power. I believe in black trans power." I can't think of a more satanic chant. These are the sons of Belial. But let me close with one encouraging thought. The sons of Belial always lose. The curse of God is upon them. They soon self-destruct. They destroy their communities, and they destroy their personal lives. And in that sense, we pity them more than we're angry at them, because the judgment of God will come swiftly down upon their heads. In 1 Samuel 17, there was one big giant son of Belial named Goliath, and he taunted and mocked the armies of the living God. King Saul and all of his men were petrified by Goliath. Nobody would go out to fight him except one young boy named David. How was it that David had so much confidence and courage? Because everyone else was looking at Goliath, but David was looking at the Lord. Everyone was looking at how big Goliath is. David was looking at how big God is. So, do not fear the sons of Belial. Whenever they rise up, whenever they're empowered, for the battle is the Lord's, and the Lord will cast down the wicked in the land. Let me close with God's promise in this regard. There are thousands of verses in this regard throughout Scripture. But here's Psalm 52. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor, O workers of deceit. You love evil more than good, falsehood more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it in fear and will laugh at him, saying, behold the man who would not make God his refuge, but instead trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desires. But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it. And I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. If that's not enough, of course, there's the well-known Psalm, Psalm 37. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more. You will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent the bow to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct. Their sword will enter their own heart, and their bows will be broken. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passes away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he couldn't be found. Mark the blameless man and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. I hope you take refuge in the Lord. Thank you for taking the time to make God and Country one part of your discipleship in the Word. Don't forget to subscribe, like, leave a comment below, and may Jesus Christ reign.